looking at a few different things because we're in the middle of a topical series now about serving Christ when it's uncomfortable. So we're going to look at a variety of topics, obviously. And obviously, not everyone is uncomfortable with the same things, right? So some of the topics we discuss are not going to ring your bell like others do. What's uncomfortable for me may not be so for you and vice versa. But you know, every Christian, every true believer is uncomfortable with something that Christ calls us to do. Every one of us is. You know, my little sister and I are very different in our makeup. Brandy, Miss Socialite, likes crowds, spending time with friends. She was involved in extracurricular activities in high school, and not so much because of the activities, but because she got to be around people. During her teenage years, we didn't see my sister too much around the house. And you know, to this day, she's 3.5 years younger than me. She's almost 45. To this day, she has a circle of girlfriends from high school that she still sees after all these years. All right. When Brandy is in a crowd, she is in her element because that's where she feels comfortable. Then there's me, Mr. Hermit. Jeremiah Johnson was my hero. As soon as the last bell rang at school, man, I was out the door and made a beeline for home. In elementary school, that meant walking because we lived about 180 yards from the front of the school, and I couldn't cover that distance fast enough. In high school, that meant the bus. Oh, I hated the school bus. Why? There were people on it. They didn't have a bus just for me, you know. Until my junior year when I got my car, Freedom. I almost peeled out of the parking lot every day. My mom worried about her teenage son who would not get out with people. Whereas Brandy was rarely home, I was rarely gone. My dad said, can't we get him out of the house for anything? In fact, when I was gone, it was to spend time in the outdoors by myself. I've spent far more time in the outdoors alone than I have with others. Being solo is my element. It's where I feel comfortable. Okay, now these two pictures that I just painted for you are not matters of right and wrong. You get that? It's just wiring. It's just the way we're wired. It's how we're made. Okay? In fact, both of those pictures are necessary from time to time. There's times you need to be alone. There's times you need to be with people. They both have a place. Which means what? Means whichever way of those two you're wired, the other way is going to be uncomfortable, isn't it? But you still need that other way from time to time. Well, today, I'm talking to the hermits. You know who you are, and you're in good company. Others may not know who you are. They may be surprised to find out that you're a hermit because they see you here at church. And to that, Mr. and Miss Hermit, I commend you because you're here and that's not comfortable for you, is it? But hopefully the Word of God is going to stretch you just a little bit this morning. Because listen, there is always room to grow. There just always is. Now make no mistakes here. Hermits, gregarious living, to be gregarious is to love company. Gregarious living is not in your wiring and is not comfortable, but you have got to be among people if you're going to grow in Jesus Christ. You understand that? You have got to. You say, but I'm here. I'm amongst the people. Yeah, but are you like I was after school? As soon as the last amen is said, just like magic, you're gone. Okay. You're making a beeline for the door. See, just being amongst the people and being with the people are two different things. Let's talk about being with the people today, because you need that. So I want to say, number one, hermit Christian, you need to be among the saved. You have got to be among the saved. Our scripture reading this morning was Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Let's see. I have one of our kitchen knives from downstairs. Our kitchen gets used a lot because this is in dire need of repair. It's made to cut, but it's more like a butter knife. But that's okay. We can fix that because Marty Bajima has the iron. He has the sharpening iron. Marty, can you hold that up, please? A little closer. This is not working. And the reason this is not working is because if there's going to be a benefit in the iron, we got to get these two together, right? Iron sharpens iron when they connect. There's no connection if you don't spend any time amongst your brothers and sisters. And there will be no sharpening of anybody's countenance. According to Hebrews 10:25, you need to be sharpened. You need to be sharpened. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the coming together of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. You notice, according to that text, we're not supposed to forsake what we're doing right now, but we don't just get together to assemble, according to Hebrews 10:25. Had a school assembly once in high school, outdoors, around the football field. It was a huge high school. We had 4,000 students in our high school. Bleachers on both sides of the field. There were so many freshmen in the freshman class that year that they had one whole section across the field of bleachers. The rest of us sat on the other side. I could not tell you for the life of me what that assembly was about. I could tell you there was a whole lot of paper airplanes and paper wads being thrown. It looked like a video game from the freshman section across the field. We had a great time. But it was a worthless assembly. Because I have no idea what we did. It was a waste of time. Folks, that is not why we're supposed to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to waste our time. And I'm sad to say, for a lot of people, that's their church experience. That's what a lot of people remember growing up. Going to church was just a waste of time. Well, there may be different reasons for that. Might be a problem with the church, maybe a problem with the individual. But we are not to come together to waste time. Notice, we don't come together just to assemble. Look again at verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. We come together to exhort. And that means to plea with somebody or to encourage somebody. It means to sharpen somebody. And the tense of this word means to continually exhort one another. We're supposed to come together to constantly exhort. Yeah, the preacher sharpens you, but we're to sharpen one another. We all have a responsibility, which means we got to come here to be sharpened. Did you know that in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, this is the purpose for the church? We're going to come back to Hebrews, but if anyone asks you, why did God make a church? Why is there a local church? Well, Ephesians 4 answers that question. He says in verse 11, he himself, as God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He gave these people to the church, not just to the universal church, that is Christians everywhere, but to local churches so these guys can do what they were called to do. And what are they called to do? Verse 12, he gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. There's the purpose of the church, folks, for you to come as a born-again believer and get equipped, to get sharpened, to get skilled, to learn to walk. The reason we assemble is not so the lost can get saved, but so the saved can go out and reach the lost. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in a great place this morning. Jesus Christ wants to know you. You can get to know him. Just simply put your trust that he paid for your way into heaven and out of hell. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no other way. Christ and Christ alone. And what he did on the cross. And if you'll accept that by faith and tell God that, you'll be part of God's family. And you'll start growing here as well. But this place is for you, Christian, to grow. So what about the Great Commission when Christ commissioned us in Matthew 28? Well, what did he commission you to do, Christian? He commissioned you to go out and make disciples. How are you going to learn to do that? By coming to church and getting sharpened. By being equipped. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God made the church. So we're supposed to be joined and knit together, and we do this when we do our share for others around us in church. Folks, this causes growth, both of of you, the individual, but also of the body as a whole. So you're here to be sharpened. But back up to Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That means you're not only here to be sharpened, Christian. You're supposed to be amongst the saved in order to sharpen others as well. The person next to you needs the stirring just as well as you do. Don't leave that up to the preacher. In fact, you may be just the one to offer encouragement to somebody today. You may have an in with somebody that I don't have, that Pastor Paul doesn't have. God may use you to reach somebody else. Christian living is relationships. You get that? Christian living is relationships. What are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's where your two relationships are found. First, your relationship with God above you, and then your relationship with others around you. Okay? In fact, we agree to this in our covenant. Do you know that? We agree to this kind of relationship. Okay? We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. How can we do that if we don't spend time with each other? To remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and in courtesy of speech. Be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We make an agreement to sharpen one another and to be sharpened by one another. Folks, Christian living involves relationships. Do not make this mistake to think that Christian living is merely academic. And by that I mean that Christian living is merely the absorption of Bible information. If you have studied the Greek language and the Hebrew language, and you can parse Greek sentences and see some real deep insights in some of the more obscure and difficult passages of Scripture, and you can do all that stuff and you think you're living for the Lord, think again. If that's where it stops. Because whenever a person thinks that Christian living is just the absorbing of Bible information and doesn't do anything with it, doesn't apply that to people, the risk for that individual is always to walk away from the Lord and the Bible he or she spends so much time studying, and eventually walk away from the church and God's people. This has happened again and again and again. This is what happens if, for you, Christian living is academic only. It's not. Christian living is knowing theology. It is knowing the Scripture. But for what purpose? For living the Scripture and applying the Word to people in your relationships. That's what this is about. And if you got no relationships with those around you, then this really is a waste of your time. Don't let that happen. You learn God's word so you can live God's word. Living God's word means walking with God above you and walking with others around you. Okay, but number two, let's take a look at the book of Matthew. Go back to chapter 5, all the way back to chapter 5. And I want you to see number two, hermit Christian. You need to be, if you haven't guessed already, you need to be among the lost. Not just among the saved, but you need to be among the lost. Because Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, start with verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You need to be among the lost, Christian, so you can be a light. People are desperate. They really are. And I know even the ones who mock you when you share your faith, they mock you and they reject you, but you know what they can't deny? Is that there's something different about you. They may not accept it. They may say they don't want it, but they sure cannot deny it when you live for the Lord. People need to see that. They need to see that you're a light and that there's something different in the way you live, the things you say, the way you talk, and the activities you partake in, your actions, your attitude, when everybody else is cursing the boss, but you're not. They need to see there's something different. They need to see the light of the Lord. But it can't stop there, because if you flip ahead in Mark chapter 5, we're in Matthew chapter 5. Now go to Mark chapter 5 and look at verse 19. Jesus had just cured a demon-possessed man. The man trusted in the Lord, got saved, and it says in verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him. In other words, the man wanted to follow Jesus, wanted to go with him. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. They didn't all believe, but they sure all knew something was different. Why? You need to be amongst the lost, Christian, because you also need to be a witness. Not just a light, but a witness. You can't just shine by your actions, folks. You can't just say, well, I don't talk about the Savior, but I live for him in front of people. Well, folks, people aren't going to get saved just by watching how you live. They need to hear what you have to say. People get saved when they put their trust in Christ, who died on the cross and was resurrected, having paid for the sins of the world. And without that message, people go to hell. They need to see that your actions are backed up by a belief in God Almighty. So you got to shine by your words as well as your works. And you say, well, I'm just not good with works. Do you think the Apostle Paul was good with words? Yeah, he probably was. But do you know what he told the Corinthian church? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, and I, brothers, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I didn't come to you with big flowery words or well thought out speeches. I just came to you with a heart to share that Jesus Christ was crucified. I just came to you with the gospel. That's all you have to do. You got to tell people what Christ did for you. He died for you, rose for you. You don't need a special gospel tract to explain that. You explain it. If you're saved, you know why you're saved. If you've accepted Christ, you know the Savior. You know what he did for you. Just tell somebody. That's all you got to do. You say, well, people think I'm weird. Yeah, that's true. Join the club. But you know, better that person think me weird for a little while, but then get saved and spend time with Christ forever. I have to look for opportunities now. I took it for granted when I worked in the secular workforce for however many years I did, age 16 on to, about 30, I guess. Almost 14 years in the secular workforce, I rubbed elbows with the lost all the time. Now I don't. I rubbed elbows with the saved more than the lost. I have to look for opportunities. But you know, I have an opportunity, another opportunity coming up. When we did our men's hobby night last year, I was showing canoe paddles, how to make them. And one of the, a veteran came, a visitor. And he thought that was pretty neat. He went home and made a paddle. And now he has called me back this spring to come to his veterans club that meets in Chittenango. And those guys meet, and they have a nice club there. And in that club, they have a wood shop. It used to be a pool house. They had a swimming pool with locker rooms. Well, they're filling in the pool. They don't use that anymore. Converted the locker rooms into a wood shop. Really nice one. Got some nice tools. I've been asked to come back for several times this spring and help all these veterans make canoe paddles and do some woodworking. I get to rub elbows with people who need the Lord. They need to see a difference in me. They need to hear a difference in me. Amen? So, hermit, no one is telling you to change your wiring. You got to understand that. I'm not telling you that. The scripture is not telling you. That now you need to be an extrovert, outgoing, life of the party, bubbly type of person. You can't do that any more than a leopard can change its spots. I'm always going to love backpacking solo. I'm always going to love working in my shop alone. That's never going to change. So enjoy your times of solitude. Absolutely, you need those times. But listen, practice some faith in Christ and leave your comfort zone when it's time to do so, and get out with the people. They'll grow as well as you, and I'm guessing you'll be pretty comfortable with that.